Chapter 1 and verse 12, the apostle expresses something he is thankful for.
He says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Verse 15, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he adds, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." I was just thinking here how we should appreciate a Bible that tells us of this wonderful servant Paul and gives us God's mind concerning him. I'm sure we lose a lot by not entering into the value of having God's Word. Now this is a gospel meeting, I understand. There was a time in my life that I was so ignorant that I wouldn't have known the difference between a worship meeting and a ministry meeting or a gospel meeting, but I thank God I know the difference now. So you that are unsaved here tonight, if you only appreciate this, this meeting is conducted absolutely for you. Those of us who are saved, if we're all saved, we wouldn't need a gospel meeting, and in fact, it'd be foolish to have one. So we're having this meeting. There's just one sinner in this meeting tonight that's unsaved. You're highly privileged by sitting here as the only sinner that's caused this meeting tonight. Now, I don't know how many there's unsaved. I couldn't count them. I heard a man say he knew just exactly how many people were saved in the meeting, but it's to as many as received him. Not one less or not one more. We've been hearing about receiving him. Now this great apostle was a pattern. And I'm glad for any measure that I can look into Paul's experience and see a little of my experience in his, because it's a pattern. I don't know if it's about making dresses or anything, but my wife, she buys patterns and patterns and patterns, and she dress makes and this and that, and she makes it according to pattern. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 and 16 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And mind you, the power of God is needed if you're saved. We read in Luke 11 that a strong man keepeth his palace in peace until a stronger man comes in and takes the spoiling of his goods. Now, this strong man is the devil. And if you're not saved, you may not know it. I didn't know it. If I would have known it, I'd have been scared. It scares me yet to think of the years I spent in the power of Satan. You know what it is to get scared. Sometimes your throat, your heart seems to come right up to your throat. You know, you just get weak. And I can say that even today. I might have missed it. I might have missed it. And there's a 99 chances to one that you'll miss it if you're not saved. Christ says, concerning the narrow way, few there be that find it. And if you want to argue about it, just argue with him when you meet him. And the broad road, many there be which go in thereat, and the broad road leads to hell. And we make no apology in telling you that, for salvation is a wonderful word. It's a great salvation, and the Hebrews tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now with this mind in view, turn with me to Acts 16 just for a moment. Acts 16. The Acts of the Apostles is a record of how them that God sent, an apostle is just a sent one. And the Acts of the Apostles is just a record of how they acted. So, we find this great apostle that was saved. He was called over into Macedonia by a message that they needed help over there. Because Satan was there, the power of Satan was there, and Paul, with this power of God unto salvation, was sent over here to Macedonia. And notice verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by Tuesday. The same followed Paul and us. I take it Luke was long too, because he said us, crying, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This woman here, probably something like you, maybe you're not especially possessed with demons, but you're possessed with Satan's power. But I always admire this woman, especially of late, I've been thinking of it. This woman had discernment of God's servant. And I know it's possible to be able to discern a difference between the real and the false even before you're saved. And this woman had that discernment. She said, why, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. It just comes to my mind now, in my unsaved days, some of you heard me tell it, I had a neighbor that was saved. And he got me to believing it. And one day he asked me down one Sunday afternoon to I thought it was just going to be a Bible reading. So I got my father-in-law to go along, my hard man, and us three went down. And it was Tom Olson at that time, a young man, who was giving a little Bible reading there in the home. And I sat there and listened to what he had to say, and I was amazed to see a young man open his Bible and preaching nothing but the Bible. And after the meeting was over, I was all stirred up. I said to him, don't you think there's anybody saved in these churches at all? And he said, yes, but we thank God for that. Well, that's not my mouth. So then we started home, and I said to my father-in-law, what do you think of them? Oh, he said, they're too narrow. They're too narrow. They think they're the only one saved. And my hired man spoke up, and he said, what's wrong with it? We're supposed to believe the Bible. He didn't preach anything but the Bible. And I remember I said, I believe they're right. And if I don't get what they got, I'll be in hell. I had discernment to see that these were the servants of the Most High God. And I've often wondered, what would the horror be to lift my eyes in hell? I remember that God gave me discernment to know there was such a thing as having salvation. And this woman knew they were the way of salvation, and she knew the ones that were able to tell it out. And no doubt, she was saved. Now, the way of salvation is very simple. But there isn't anyone but what needs to know the way, because we don't come into this world with that knowledge. I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and I was in a world of which it says, if our gospel be hid, it hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, that strong man, he keeps his word, good and peace, until the stronger man comes in, and the stronger man is Christ. But no one ever delivered a soul. Our brother Charles said, it takes God to stir you up, it sure does. And it'll take God to lift you up too, as far as I'm concerned. And when you get stirred up, you come down. You don't go up, you go down. And sometimes you get stirred down. At least that was my experience. Now, God has given us different characters in the Bible of how they got saved. You know, we're all different, and yet God says there is no difference. I understand that. I look at a bunch of dogs, there might be 50 different kind of species of dogs. You say, well, this is that, and this is that, but we're just coming up, they're all dogs. And that's all it. That's all there to it. And so we're all sinners, and we need to be saved. And I need to be saved. We naturally don't know the way of salvation. This woman didn't know the way of salvation, but she recognized that these men were the men that could tell them the way of salvation. Now, I didn't know the way of salvation, and you don't know the way of salvation. I remember my oldest girl told me a few moments before she was saved. She says, Dad, I went through high school, and it seems I've been able to accomplish everything that I did, but I can't accomplish this. I'm against the stone wall, because the gospel was hit from her. I know how hard it is, a brother was telling about trying to point people to Christ. Well, the only thing you can do is bring the scripture, the entrance to the word is light. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. That's the only way you can do it. And if God hasn't done it, well, it ain't done anyway. And there's a lot of imitation. We've had people up in our country, I remember one girl was in the meeting for 17 years. I thought she was saved. And every preacher come along, she would stay there. And she showed her hospitality, and she was honored among many women. And she kept the preachers, and when she found out that she wasn't saved, in the meeting 17 years, and a prayer was passed, came into our conference at Heightsville, prayed for a woman that's been in the meeting 17 years, and discovered that she's not saved. But she got saved afterwards, and I said to her, I want to ask you a question. I want to know how you made this mistake, so either help me to prevent others from making this mistake. You know, we learn as we go along. Well, see, that's it. Because when Dad got saved, he talked so much about believing. And I got that believing in my head. Now I want to find out what it is to believe. So one day she was reading John 3:16. And she said, now Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, I believe you have to be born again. Well, then I must be a believer. She called herself a believer because she believes you have to be born again. She didn't get this right. She just believes you have to be born again. And so that's where I made my mistake. I never got the good. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was having his conversation that night with Nicodemus, Nicodemus is altogether a different person than this woman at Philippi. He was a religious leader. But he came to Christ, he acknowledged him as a teacher. He didn't acknowledge him as a savior. Sometimes we think a ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The Bible don't say he come to ask the way of salvation and life. I believe that that man didn't know that he needed salvation. He thought he needed a teacher. And he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man to do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And in the previous chapter at the end it says, many believed on him when they saw the miracles he did. And you can live in the time of Christ. You can see raised Lazarus from the dead as we've been hearing today. And you can see him cleanse the leper. You can see him make the blind see and the deaf hear. But never saw your need for his death. Mark you that death of the cross, when Christ humbled himself even under the death of the cross, that story, all the Indians used to get them and scalp them and tie them to trees and burn them to stake and all the rest of it. It used to many times think, well, that I'd rather be nailed to a cross, like Christ, than the way they died. Now, I know the world make a lot about the death of Christ, but they fail to recognize what the death of the cross is. There's a lot of difference between a man dying on a cross and dying the death of the cross. For my friend Jesus was the one that didn't deserve to die. But he died. Someone has said, they judged Jesus, and then he died. But if you die, it'll be after death the judgment. It'll be just reversed. After death the judgment to a sinner. But after the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered for righteousness' sake. He didn't die because he was a sinner. He died because they judged him as unrighteous, but he was the righteous, suffering the just for the unjust. I can't understand how people, when they hear that people know why they don't want to die. I was down near Muscatine not long ago. I stopped at a watermelon place to get a Muscatine melon. And I bought a melon, and my young Catholic friend that was a Catholic got saved, and he bought one. And we got to preaching to this man. And finally I asked him, what do you know for sure? And we got talking. Well, he said, I don't know. I said, are you sure you're going to hell? No. Are you sure that you're going to heaven? No. Jesus, the Catholic guy said, are you sure you're going to purgatory? No. Are you sure you're going to be alive tomorrow? No. Well, I said, under what God's name, what are you sure of? You have to admit nothing. My friends, you that are unsaved here tonight, you're sure of nothing. God sure is going out of this tank tonight alive. And you mean to tell me that God has given us a book of inspiration of 66 books and let me grope around the dark and not be sure? Not be sure. Sometimes people say these people that believe in eternal security, That advertising the careless living is just the opposite to me. A young man one time went great money and he was spending it as fast as he could get it. He got big wages and spent every cent of it. Everything he got it, he spent it. Didn't save a cent. His father and mother got after him one day and said, aren't you going to save any for a rainy day? The boy said to his father, and he had a point to it. He says, if you assure me of a rainy day, I will save. Could they assure him? No. Now the very fact that he wasn't sure made him a little careless. But he was sure of the future. And he was sure of a rainy day. But he needs that money. Then you have a right to save it. And those of us who are saved here, we save our lives because we know that we'll find it again on the other side. And we're sure tonight. Thank God we can be sure. And Nicodemus wasn't sure. For when Christ told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born with the old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I've often thought, he might have been a smart man, but I never was that foolish. To make that great, I don't think that he could, someone said I got a bad enough dose the first time I was born of a woman, say nothing about getting double dose of it. Because I was, a man that was born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we don't need to stutter when we say that either. And I know it, a man that's 77 years old, I've lived through this world and know that there's just trouble everywhere. And if you want to live for God, you'll find you'll have more trouble. But it's a different kind of trouble altogether. My trouble is, I wish I could see people saved. I prayed for all my life and asked God to give me words and coin together to convince people that this salvation is of the Lord. And if you die without Christ, the undertaker won't have your body. It's sad to say it, but it's eternally true. That if you die without Christ, the undertaker won't have your body. And your soul will be down in the caverns of hell. I picked up a hitchhiker come down here this morning, and he was asking me about the heathen. And I sometimes like to have them fellows ask me questions, because God has to help me out, and sometimes it's good help, because and you don't know yourself. But it seems like as if God would just come in time to help you out. Well, I said, now look here. Supposing you and I were living in Africa. We never had a Bible. We never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you want to remember that the people that never had an education, they're just as smart as you are in the land. They've got their wisdom, don't you forget it. A boy I used to go to school with, he never got past the second reader. He was so dumb. And we used to laugh at him. He used to put his finger on him when I didn't get a word come to people like that. And he'd put his finger on the next word and take one and he'd go like that. He never got beyond that. But do you know when that young fellow grew up? I never saw a man could judge the way that steers and hogs and cattle like that young fellow. He couldn't learn in school, but he had his wisdom, don't you forget it. He could judge the way of cattle. Now he had wisdom all right, but he just didn't have the wisdom that you call wisdom. And if you go down to these heathen, they're wise all right. And what do? They make many a god out of stone or some kind of their own name. But don't you think for a minute that they know better. That thing they made isn't holding the sun, moon, and stars. Right? They're smart enough to know that. They've got their wisdom. They know that the thing that controls the universe, before I ever knew about salvation, as a boy herding cattle on the prairie one time, I was watching the clouds cast their shadow over the hills, and I began to think of the wonderfulness of creation. I thought of the sun, moon, and stars, and the moon, and the earth, and all its atmosphere, and our almanac would tell you when there was going to be an eclipse a year ahead, and somebody was controlling it. I made a wish in my boyish heart. I wish someday I'd know the hand that controlled this universe. But I never knew I was going to meet him where I met him. I met him at Calvary, the Creator dying for his creature's sin. What a condescension on God's part, that we're already hearing God commending his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I was just telling him an instance the other day up in a gospel meeting, something that happened down here at Lyman. When Cal Lindman's father died, there was a young man from Silner. He wanted to come down and help me drive a car. He wanted to get saved. His wife had gotten saved. And he was just wishing for the moment that he could go and tell his wife that he had found salvation. So when I got down here to Lyman, Mr. Frank was alive, and I suppose Mr. Myers and some of them was around here, and I just kind of whispered in their ear, I said, there's a young man that wants salvation. And so these farmers around Lyman, they got around him and began to talk to him pretty quick. He come back to me and he said, how come these people are interested in me? They don't know me. He couldn't understand why these people down at Lyman were so interested in him. But I didn't just tell him that I told these people to talk to him. So he went out to Lewis Lindemann to stay all night, and I was weary and I went to bed. I don't know how long Lewis talked to him, but anyway, it was way in the wee hours of the night. I didn't know when he come to bed, but I woke up about 5 o'clock, I found him in bed with me. And he said, are you awake? I said, I'm awake. And he said, what am I going to do? He said, I've tried all night. She said, you get saved. And he said, I haven't got anywhere. And I knew he wanted to be saved. So I said, well, we'll just quote a little of him. And I started this old hymn. I once was far from the Savior. I was as vile as sinner could be. And I wondered if Christ the Redeemer could save a fool. Sinner like me. That's just what I am now, right now. I've been wondering if he'd save a sinner like me. Well, I said, if that's you, I'll quote another verse. I wandered on in the darkness. Not a ray of light did I see. And the thought filled my soul with sadness. No hope for a sinner like me. And he said, that's me too. That's me too. Then I said, I'll quote another. Then in that dark, lonely hour, a voice sweetly whispered to me, saying, Christ the Redeemer has power to save a poor sinner like me. Said, do you suppose he will? I said, I know he will. I said, I'll quote you scripture. Romans 5 and 6, I said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now I said, who's without strength? Well, he said, I must be. I've tried all night and I haven't got anywhere. Well, I said, who's ungodly? Well, he said, I'm that, that's for sure. But what does it mean, due time? That's the first time an unsaved person ever asked me that. What does that mean, due time? Well, I said, if you give a man a note, there's a date on there when it's due. That means that Christ died in time to save you. I could hardly hold him in bed. He wanted to get up and telephone to his wife. But God had saved him. So you can be saved. Christ died for the ungodly. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners. And when Nicodemus was being told how to be born again by our blessed Lord, he told Nicodemus that night that I've got to die, Nicodemus, I've got to die. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when Christ was telling Nicodemus that night, that I've got to die, I've got to die. I've got to die in the death of the cross and suffer for sins that are not my own, but it be yours, Nicodemus. I've often wondered what Nicodemus had thought about when he had the privilege afterwards to take Jesus loose from the cross. I just tried to put myself in his place. And I'm taking those nails out of his hands and his feet. And taking gently as I knew how, take that body from that cruel tree. And it seems to me I'd be saying, well, he has to be lifted up. He has to be lifted up. That's the thing that unsaved people can't see. They don't see that. You'll never see that. When you see it, you'll be saved. Why did Christ have to die? I picked up a hitchhiker one time out of Ames. He was a college student. And he began to tell me that he just finished school and how many degrees he had. And he talked about degrees that I didn't know nothing about. Well, I never knew very much anyway. So I'm glad I know my sins forgiven. But anyway, the dear man, he said, I've got so many degrees. And he told me he was going home, going to set up an office. I think he was going to start to be a lawyer or something like that. And after he talked a while, you gonna run out? Why, I thought I'd lift him. No, I said, you've told me some things, and I said, I see you're a pretty smart lad. I said, I've got a question I'd like to ask you. Do you know why Jesus had to die on the cross? No, seriously. That's always been a mystery to me. And it's a mystery to you, if you're honest. Couldn't you be just what you are now if Jesus had never died? Be honest. Couldn't you be just what you are right now if Jesus had never died? Now, I couldn't be what I am for the last 47 years if Jesus hadn't died. I couldn't be It's impossible. I did clumsy.
But I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. The hitchhiker this morning, I carry a little thing in my car, a little red glass, and you look through a paper with some red on it, it takes the red away. And I says, well, I'll show you something. He looked at it, you know, and I had a road map with some red letters on it. He couldn't read it through that red. He could read the black letters, but he couldn't read the red. And he looked at the word, and that's a strange thing. I never saw that in my life before. And he put it up like that. Sure enough, he couldn't read them red letters on that road map through this red glass that I had. And I says, that's the way people get saved. I says, come now and let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet as the Lord, though the red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God sees everyone that's taken shelter under the precious blood of Christ. He sees them through the blood. Can you tell me a sin that the blood of Jesus Christ can't put away? When is that a blood applied? In Egypt, it was applied upon the doorpost. But there's some doors in this here meeting tonight. And Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What door is that? The door of your heart. Suppose you'd let him in. You'd let one in that shed his blood. Wouldn't you? And if you let one in that shed his blood, God looks in that heart of yours. He sees the blood in yours, doesn't he? Mark says he sees in the middle. He must have let the Savior in because he's the only one that can shed blood. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I'll come in. Here, man, the name of Pine was saved one day standing with my car. And I said, Mr. Pine, I said, have you got saved? No, sir. But he said, I'm coming to know more of me. He said, don't do me any good. He said, I have found out that going to meet is one Savior. I said, I'm glad you found that out. Sure, nice that you found that out. You're going to meet is one Savior. But I said, you make me think of a fellow that's standing with his hands shut. And if somebody got a wonderful gift there waiting for you to open your hand, I guess as soon as you open your hand, it'll drop. But it will not drop until you open your hand, because that's what makes you trick. When you're open. I remember he, poor fellow, and it can't be even read or write it open then. And I said, instead of you opening your hand, you just make it tighter and tighter. That's not exactly what sinners do. And Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I'll come in. He kind of smiled and he says, I'll let him in right now. I said, I wish I could believe it. He said, I don't care if you do or not. He's here. He said, whether you believe it or not. And you know, I don't make any difference if I believe it or not. These people that go around trying to make you believe they're saved, I don't believe they're saved at all. I've never went around trying to make people believe I'm married. I'm married. Whether you believe or not. I'm not trying to make you believe I'm saved. I am saved. Whether you believe it or not. But the thing that we're afraid of is that you're just like we was once. And if you are, we know what a pitiful state you're in. My friends, the last 2 days before I was saved, I was sitting in the cow barn milking, and sometimes I'd catch myself sitting there. I wasn't milking at all. I was carried away with a deep thought. Where will you spend eternity? Eternity. And I remember one time sitting in the cow barn, and I was trying to figure out time and eternity. And I said, now if I take a needle over here in this big barn and just make a little point that you couldn't see hardly with a magnifying glass, I'm going to call that time. And then the rest of the barn is all eternity. Well, why can't I live right for just that little bit if I can go to heaven? I used to, that's the way I looked at it. Why couldn't I live right that little bit of a life? And I'd made an awful mess of it up to that time. And God requires that which is past anyhow. I was really up against it, wasn't I? So are you. But we can tell you where you can get delivered. It's the salvation that the Apostle Paul is not ashamed of. It was the salvation that Paul preached. And he was a man that could convict the unsaved that he was the man that was able to show them the way of salvation. And there's no one in the Bible that said so much about to him that worketh not, to him that worketh not, to him that worketh not, that believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. Why isn't that something? An ungodly sinner justified. I couldn't do that. You can't either. You might justify a just person and send him away justified. How in the world are you going to justify a guilty man? But God can do it, and he'll justify you tonight. He'll justify the ungodly through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Christ is the only one that ever could say, I've got power to lay it down. I've got power to take it again. That's the strong man. That's able to meet your need. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus died upon that cross to pay somebody's debt. That debt was mine, and he's risen to prove.
I was just seeing a couple of verses.